Turn with me to Genesis chapter 39 tonight. Genesis chapter 39. We're going to be looking at Joseph in Potiphar's house. Joseph in Potiphar's house. A test of character is one thing that we'll see tonight in Joseph's life. This is another one of those things that I believe I spoke either Sunday night or last Wednesday about how that we get put into situations and we get put in those situations providentially, that God allows us to be put in certain situations to try us. And I was actually meditating today, and I was thinking about in the book of Genesis, we have several main characters. Now, there's a lot of names when you get into their families and their sons and wives and daughters, and but it really focuses on, the family from Adam to Noah, and then, of course, Abraham down to Joseph, Jacob and Joseph. And I thought to myself, of all of those years in Abraham's life, just look at his life. All the years of Abraham's life, we have just really a small amount of stories about his life, but they were major points in his life. Joseph, think about his whole life. All the things that could have been written about Joseph. But we have these major points of sovereignty, God's sovereignty, poking in Joseph's life, if you want to look at it that way. I mean, look, I don't know. I mean, Adam was on the earth over 900 years. And look at what we have about Adam. But these things, you know, God wasn't writing a biography on every character when he wrote his word. But he was giving you and I examples and instruction. Amen? And, it just kind of came into my mind. That I thought about it just in my short 53 years. I can't even remember a lot of my days. A lot of my days ain't worth remembering. But there have been some significant moments in my life, spiritually, that God intervened, or that something happened and I was tried and my life went one way or another. And so here we're looking at Joseph. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Just that first statement, he is being brought low, brought down. I mean, he has been taken away from the promised land of his father. and now sold to Ishmaelites, the flesh, and taken down into Egypt. But you watch Joseph's life and how he responds. If we're not very careful, and this happens a whole lot, when our lives suddenly take a turn in a hard direction, maybe one that we absolutely do not understand, and it's childish. It's childish spiritually to then look up at times like that and say, God, why are you doing this to me? Or to begin to think, God, if you love me, why would you allow me to go through? But you know what? Joseph seems like the whole of his life is just trusting God. No matter what direction he's sent in, he's going to keep looking to the Lord. Whatever God's will is for my life, I must need to be here. Amen. So, you know, it's childish spiritually that, and I know that's easier said than done. But we should, as God's children, we should know enough about God's word and about God's intervention in our life and intervention in other people's lives, knowing that he will work in our lives sometime, trying to work in someone else's life. Amen. Don't you know that if God has a divine purpose, he's going to send an agent to help accomplish that? And that agent happens to be Joseph, and he don't know the whole picture yet. But he's trusting God. He goes down into Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. You talk about losing all liberty that he had. I mean, now he's being sold? His life is not even his anymore. News flash to all of us. Our life's not ours anyway. But here he's being made to see that even in this world, his life doesn't belong to him anymore. He's been bought by a man by the name of Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh. And so this captain of the guard, this captain of the watch, this chief of executioners, as some would say, bought him off of the Ishmaelites. Now, when you think about Joseph, think about what it is that he bought. His age, his appearance, his intelligence. Isn't that exactly what they did to Daniel and the three Hebrew boys? Where they wound up in Babylon had a lot to do with their age, with their appearance, with their intelligence. I mean, Joseph had to have been a handsome young man and an intelligent young man. And but so here, this captain sees this young, beautiful, intelligent Hebrew slave, and he picked him up at the market. Picked him up. I mean, that's what he did. He picked him up, bought him.
And the Bible said in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph.
Amen.
And he was a prosperous man, a prosperous slave. What about that? A prosperous slave. How could he prosper? Well, he could have been taken slave to a lot of places. But he was taken slave in a man's house where he could be educated and eventually rise to the place where he's going to be number one in command over Egypt. Joseph wouldn't have found that if he'd have been bought a slave just to go sledge rocks.
Right.
Just to go work the mud. Work the slime pits. No, he was peculiarly picked out. For a purpose. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. He wasn't even in a slave house. He stayed in the master's house. Now listen, you just don't pick anybody up and bring them into your house. Slaves, they kept them out with the animals or in a slave house at best. Most of the time with the animals whatever it was that they did where they stayed on the compound. I mean, this guy, Potiphar, he is high up. And Joseph is blessed of the Lord, prospering even in his slavery to be found inside this man's house. And his master saw that the Lord was with him.
Amen.
Now that right there was peculiar to me. Now I know this man, he must be intelligent. And he may know something of the Hebrew God. But he doesn't serve God. But there was enough in Joseph's life, listen, there was enough in Joseph's life that man could see the Lord was in his life. The Lord was in his life. I mean, you couldn't avoid it. When somebody is wholly dedicated in their service to God. I mean, he wasn't whining. He didn't spend his nights complaining, crying himself to sleep, telling all the other slaves what his brothers did and how bad his life is and why would God do this to me? No, he probably humbled himself every day in prayer before his God, giving thanks to the God above.
Amen.
He was here for a purpose. He was brought down, just like Christ came down from heaven, was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Here Joseph is. He is the apple of his father's eye. And now he's been brought down to Egypt to be a slave. But our Lord was still as much God as he was in heaven. Even though he had took on a robe of flesh, and Joseph being a great picture, he was still a son of Israel. Still serving the God of his father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was still the boy that had the dreams. was. That God showed him his family would come before him. He's still that same Joseph. Whatever avenue God chooses to get us to the place where he wants us to go, be grateful that God has got us in the school of hard knocks, if that's what it takes. To get me ready to save my family. To get me ready to save a nation. He don't know that. But whatever God's plan is for his life, it should be good enough just to know that it come from the hand of God, whatever it is. Whatever it is that God has chosen me for, I am pleased that God would even choose me. So his master saw that the Lord was with him. Joseph, again, here he is. He's changed location. He's changed a position in the house. I mean, from the blessed son now to a slave, but he wasn't changed in spirit. They stripped him of his father's love. You remember the coat of many colors that his father made for him? They stripped it off of him, dipped it in blood, and took it back to the father. So that is to strip him of everything. A picture. But now listen. He lost his coat, but he hadn't lost his morality. And the graces that he has been given. The Lord is going to bless this Egyptian's house. The Lord made all that Joseph did to prosper in his hand in verse 3. Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. Verse 5, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. I mean, made him an overseer over everything. Everything. I mean, that, you talk about a great advancement from slave to overseer in this man's house. The Lord blessed the Egyptian, his house, for Joseph's sake. Do you know how many people in the world are blessed just because of the presence of God's people? Listen, I'm not saying that in a high-minded way. There have been people that they were blessed just because of the Christian neighbor they had. Or the church right down the road from them. Seemingly, and a lot of times people, they don't even realize that, I mean the lost. They don't even realize, many of them, that they are blessed because they are bumping shoulders with God's people. But it happens. And the things of God. You remember when the ark was taken away from Israel? And then it finally wound up. After they tried to bring it back, you know, and it fell off of the cart, and one man died because he grabbed it and he wasn't supposed to, and
It was left in that man's house. What was that man's name? Obed-Edom. And his house was blessed. Why? Just because the ark was there. Just because the ark was there. Not any other reason. And so, but this, look, here's the test. This first test, everything's going good in Joseph's life, seems like. I mean, things are picking up. He's not home, but he's not being beat. He's blessed. He's found some sense of duty and light, a path that God has put him on to be a light, to be someone that the people in this man's house could see the grace of God in Joseph's life. That they could see it, that others may see it. So here he is doing the will of God. And a tempter comes. The master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. Verse 7, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. I want you to know that Joseph, nowhere do you read that he ever batted his eyes at her at all. He knew, and he even tells her, you're his wife. He's not withheld anything from me in this house but you, because you're his wife. And that meant something to Joseph. Joseph wasn't going to sin against God, wasn't going to sin against this man. He went on and he said this in the verse number. I mean, he refused. But he refused. Thank God for that. He refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. And there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar? No, and sin against God. There was nothing that she could do to get him to will himself over to her. She was going to keep on and on. But you know what Joseph kept? He had God in his mind. This is a sin against my God. The God that brought me here. Now, wouldn't if somebody had let their life grow weak through not praying and not thinking about their God the way they had one time had. He let me come down here in Egypt, as in Egypt. Like doing, you know, when in Rome, do as they are that are in Rome. He wasn't like that. He said, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? How can I do that? How can I do such a thing? You talk about having some principles about him. Moral purity was one of them. He didn't budge in that. You don't give in these areas. He wasn't very easy, regardless of what his brothers did. See, other men's sins sometimes will affect us if we let them. What somebody else does, then it causes us to sin. But no, not Joseph. Not Joseph. He's being tested, I mean, right from the beginning. Made a slave, did not change. Took to the house, did not change. Being tempted of the wife, has not changed. You and I are sometimes going to be tempted by the world or the flesh or the devil to try to get us to sway from what God has got us to do. If a devil could stop us from doing it, could you imagine if he would have done this? Where would be the corn in those 7 years? What would happen to the... our sin doesn't just hurt us. It affects everybody. His sin would have affected the world. So she it came to pass in verse 10, she spake to Joseph day by day, day by day, day by day, every day. Thought about that yet, Joseph? Joseph, have you thought about my offer? Joseph, I mean, looking for a weakness. Keeping that sin before him. Looking for a weak point, a weak time. Because some people are just strong enough to say no once. They can't say it twice. Because there's something in them that is leaning toward that. And they know they shouldn't. And the devil knows if he presses and presses and presses eventually. That's where you and I must have these things settled in our heart. I am his servant. His servant. When I sin, I'll be sinning against him. Do you remember when the prophet came to David? Was it Nathan? Yeah, Nathan. The prophet came to David and said, "Thou art the man." Remember the sin of Bathsheba? What was it that David said? "I've sinned against my Lord. I've sinned against my Lord." So here she is, day by day, he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, or to be with her. I mean, you talk about keeping himself at a distance. You talk about putting things, you know, away from you. Getting away from things. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. There was none of the men of the house there within. Yeah, that's dangerous. Alone with sin. Alone with temptation. Alone with temptation. And she caught him by his garment. It's the first time she's ever done that. I mean, she latched hold of him. calling him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. I mean, son, he turned and she wasn't going to turn loose of the coat. She could have the coat. He was gone, out of there. I mean, he peeled out of it and gone. To get away. What would we do to escape temptation? What would we do to escape temptation that's laid its hand upon us? That's trying to get a foothold? This young man knows he knows. The sugar of sin only lasts a brief moment. And then look, it's nothing but death and pain afterward. The devil will sometimes bring temptation our way. He knows what we're tempted by. What tempts one man may not tempt another man or a woman, but he knows. And he will try to continually now, in spite of his integrity, now he's living in a different day. In our day, it'd be someone's word against someone else's word. And knowing the character of Joseph, seeing all that he saw in Joseph's life, it's never said that he ever saw God in his wife. In her life. Or the grace of God in her life. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment. Verse 13, and it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. It came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. She laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spoke unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled out. It came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. He never asked Joseph one thing. The world will always side with the world. And they're trying to find fault, even if it's false fault. What was it that they did to our Lord? Trying to find fault, trying to lay charges. And one man even said, "I find no fault in this man." But in Joseph's case, he was taken and put in prison where the king's prisoners. I mean, he's in a low place. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Every step and stage that Joseph was going into, now he is leaving Potiphar's house. I thought God, there's something there. Well, he learned a lot while he was there. Listen, every situation that you and I step into, we're learning something that we're going to need. God will teach us something that we need in our Christian life. As long as we are following the Lord, I'm glad that Joseph did not give in to the temptation. Because even though he was in prison, the Lord was with him. You can do anything if the Lord's with you. You can endure anything if the Lord's with you. And your life will eventually be used with purpose by the hand of God if the Lord is with you. He had something for Joseph. This man Joseph that started out dreaming dreams, he's fixing to get back into that thing that God first started him with, dreams. He's going to interpret some dreams. When you think how the Lord gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Potiphar made him over all of his house. Now he's in prison, and the keeper of the prison puts him over all the prisoners. You talk about a man that's got the hand of God upon him. Every step, regardless of what it looks like, he could have whined. We can cry, I'm in prison, I'm not in the house anymore, but as long as God's hand is with you. He was innocent of the crime, knowing that he was pure and innocent, knowing that, listen, God's got the record. God knows that. But that comes from his integrity, his character, how he faces these things that are coming in his life, this temptation that came his way, that he had to, I mean, that he ran from, that he ran from. And you, listen, there may be times, I mean, that you have to physically get yourself away from somewhere that you don't need to be. Whatever you have to do, remember, what you do will be against the Lord or for the Lord. I want you to stand. I'm done this evening. There's much more in this. I'd like